Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
This hour is sponsored by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Affordable implants, life-changing smiles.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, and Mark Grody should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi, Harris, and Grody may change at any time.
It's just sports.
Okay, thanks, bye.
Rahimi, Harris, and Grody, 10 to 2 on 670 The...
Do we prefer calling tonight's Bengals-Steelers game the Icy Hot Bowl or the Unk Bowl?
I don't dislike old people. I love old people.
It's got to be the Unk Bowl, right?
The Tiger Balm Bowl live from the Metrodome, sponsored by Depends, Viagra, and Flomax.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
For me, personally, the Icy Hot Bowl, because I think it hits better with that part of the population. The Icy Hot thing is more about, like, the Shaq age, people who were raised on Shaq.
This is me living with back pain. And this is me treating back pain with Icy Hot Smart Relief.
You know, but I'm still dying at these names for this bowl game, by the way.
I can't. My favorite, every time I look at the text line.
Adrian in Oceanside, the Get Your Affairs in Order Bowl.
Oh, God.
Like, wow.
It's time for a colonoscopy bowl.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It was the Grown Men Bowl. That's what that was. This is Rahimi, Harris, and Grody on 670 The Score. We are with you today from 10 to 2, 2:15-ish, 2:20, whatever the afternoon show wants to do. And in the meantime, we have the chance to see the Bears on a four-game win streak. And I really want to pick up where you left off with Zach Zaidman. I feel a pattern coming on from Zach when it comes to the sustainability of the Bears quarterback play, but that's a story for another day. I do want to get into this. We were asking in our pre-show meeting, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody, about not just the sustainability of what we're seeing, because they've already done that so far at 3-2, but really the validity of the win streak. It's not just a question of how big the game is. It's always a question of how. And in this case, if they beat the Saints, you really have a lot more evidence as to how this team could succeed in even more ways than we anticipated later in the season.
So we started out, I can only speak for myself. I started out with a 7-10 prediction. I said they'd probably be 1-3 heading into the bye, and then maybe come out of the bye and be 1-4, maybe 2-3. This is just very different. It's very much unexpected. We are in uncharted territory. But one thing has been true for me throughout this whole process. I believe in Ben Johnson. I trust Ben Johnson. And I feel like they'll be playing better in December and January than they will be in September, October.
Ben Johnson told us that. He said the offense is going to look different in December. And frankly, unlike other edicts that have been issued by Bears coaches, I believe him because it takes a while for a team to learn stuff. Like, that's just how it is. And we haven't had enough years of consistency to see with offensive coordinators to say what that looks like when the offense is good. Because I'm going to, you know what year I'm thinking about, Mark Grody.
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember when Matt Nagy said, well, it's going to take 4 years to learn the offense? Sir, no, it doesn't. It takes 4 years for you to explain it to people.
It can't take 4 years.
Like, that is literally more than an entire regime head coach front office combos get. You can't do that.
The thing is Mitch Trubisky never did learn the offense.
Realistically, did any of us?
Well, I mean, I think that there was some receipt. I think Allen Robinson was pretty good at running the offense back
then.
I knew they
liked to do crack toss on third down and 15, and they can't downfield block. And I knew they like to do jet sweeps and not get any yards. That's what I learned.
Also, Allen Robinson's on the record saying if you just given Mitch the extra year, they would have been fine.
Yeah, I don't agree with Allen Robinson about that.
Allen is a loyal man.
I loved Allen Robinson, and he did have, or still love Allen Robinson. He had a great relationship with Mitch Trubisky. He was a believer in Mitch, but he was wrong about that. Mitch got his extra year. It was a competition with Nick Foles. Mitch wins the competition, and then Nick Foles takes over in Atlanta, where the Players play, I think it was.
Oh.
Yeah, where he comes in and just starts heaving the ball down the field.
It was a completely different playbook.
It was a different playbook.
Different things were going on at the 50 line.
There were rollouts. There were moving of the pockets.
The guys were like, "Ooh, wow, this is pretty interesting." However, it all went downhill after that. But guys, we are here in 2025. We are exploring new territory. We are in, my name is Mark, and I did pick the Bears to be 8-9. There's no doubt about that. I did do that. Thank you so much.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, guys. Good to see you guys.
Hi,
it's so good
Mark.
To be in studio. And it is, man, there's no reason statistically with the games that have been played this year that the Bears should lose to the Saints. I'm not saying it's going to be a blowout or a piece of cake, but the Bears should beat the Saints, and they should be 4-2. That is going to put us in a very weird place at that point, because, and I'll ask you guys even now, how legitimate does it feel for this Bears team as we explore the new world with the new spices and the new sugars and the new things? There was no sugars, I don't think.
People fought wars over spices, man.
Right. Was it garlic?
People fought wars. And you know what? Sugarcane isn't the same everywhere.
I saw Dune. I know they fight for spices.
Yeah. Also, you know, Columbus Day just happened, and that's what he was looking for initially.
That is true.
Yeah.
But that
Nina Pinta and Santa Maria business.
Oh, the Pinta and Santa Maria. Absolutely.
I remember all that. They have a day celebrated for that man.
Yeah, there was a whole parade on Monday.
Should we do an Explorers draft here really quick? Vasco da Gama, right here. Vasco da Gama.
Ponce de Leon.
Ooh, Magellan.
We never found the Fountain of Youth,
Magellan.
Guys.
Now, Magellan's thing is he went all the way around the world.
All the way around. Leif Erikson. Boom.
I feel like we're forgetting one who's like very Northwest territory.
Oh, yeah,
Northwest
Passage.
Lewis and Clark.
Lewis and Clark. That's it.
Marco
Edmund.
Polo. Yeah, he's a good one.
Marco Polo.
Yeah.
Hear me out. Ben Johnson. Exploring the offense with the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
Leif Erikson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's it. Thank you.
I said Leif Erikson.
Sir Edmund Hillary. What about him?
Who else are we missing?
A lot of people, but that's not the point.
Dank?
Well,
100% an explorer.
John Smith, right?
There's Dank. History about him.
That John was a, Smith. There was a John Smith.
With like Pocahontas, isn't that the whole?
Yeah, was Pocahontas an explorer before Pocahontas?
It wasn't the whole thing John Smith loved her or something? I don't know. Is that a Disney movie?
I don't trust a lot of that history anymore.
No, you think I trust any of it?
Yeah, learning what I've learned in these days.
Come on, man. I'm from Alabama. I've seen things.
Exactly.
But are we flipping the script on this Bears team?
Ray, what were you going to say?
I was going to say that I'm hoping to name a new favorite explorer, which will be Ben Johnson, who will find and discover good football in Chicago. That's what I'm hoping
Mark
for.
Mark Rody, please interview Ben Johnson.
Sacagawea.
I feel like of the explorers like Ponce de Leon, Christopher Columbus, and Sir Edmund Hillary, how would you describe your exploration of the Bears offense?
What spices are most important to you to bring back from the new world? Would you like oregano and thyme? And whatnot?
Sage.
If you guys are going after saffron, I have no time for you.
Paprika.
Like, you guys consider with your reasonably priced spices. If it's not saffron, I hear it.
Let me ask you about paprika. Is the only thing paprika's ever gone on deviled eggs?
I don't eat eggs.
You can put
paprika
as a substitute for really lame cayenne pepper. That's what paprika is.
I've never really understood the
You can put it on like a mac and cheese. It'll add the ever so slightest something
interesting.
Like I like to work with bigger spices, but when it comes to paprika, we'll add a teeny something
just
for people who are
your love
afraid.
Of spice right there.
Yeah. No, he's asking what paprika's for.
I did ask. I asked if it was. If I've only ever seen it on deviled eggs. That's it.
You don't have any spices.
Like
in your
this is an insult to the cuisine of New Orleans. Is this conversation?
Yeah, probably. Probably.
That's why I said Zatarain's. I was like,
Zatarain's is legit.
Yes. Like
Zatarain's. That's a spice.
It's rice mix.
He's not ready for all that.
No.
That
You're
sounds like a depression pill. Like we should be giving to Pat Manley. Try Zatarain's. You'll feel better.
No. What we should do though?
No.
With Ben Johnson Zatarain's. Specifically.
No, this is a name. Zatarain.
What I love about him is that he's failed in the past. You know, he's been fired from jobs. He's had not success. And most explorers were unsuccessful in some way. And they ended up lucking into something. Or they finally figured it out because they were given a leash to figure it out. That's Ben Johnson. He got to Detroit. He finally got an opportunity to figure it out. And now he's bringing that prosperity here to Chicago. And now we're all kind of holding our I'm clutching my pearls to see, like, can you do it this quick? Can you turn this around this quick?
It's like, really? Is this what we're doing now? The Bears are going to be a winning team? Because it's like, it's about, what, five games so far? It's about to be six, and the Bears will be 4-2. So
Whoa. Are you sneaking in on a little predicto there?
I just can't figure out where in this game, except for freak occurrences, like a pick six, which Caleb really doesn't throw interceptions, like what can possibly
Don't
happen
you feel
in
like
this
the
game?
Other shoe has to drop, though, because the Bears have been so fortunate, whether you want to call them turnovers or takeaways, they've come up big in that department.
I think we need to ask the question, especially this season, and I'm saying the whole season. I think we need to ask ourselves the question, what is going to make you feel better out of a loss when you're watching the Bears? What is going to make you more confident in them in a win? Like, Grody didn't like the Vegas win. He's been on the record about it. He said it, but he liked what happened in the Washington win. I'm still of the place where I'm saying, did you win a one-score game? Then that's a much bigger step in progress than you did previously. But does it need to be more for people? Like, do you need to see a more established run game, for example? You know, that's a question and a preview and what we're doing in five on it. Like, I think there's no such thing as a moral win or a moral loss, as we know. But I do think that you can say there are certain losses that you may feel better about this season than you would, you know, a loss that's a whooping like the Lions game, or if it's something where you at least see the progress that was made. Like, that was part of what I did last year. You know, watching Caleb Williams in a two-minute drill to end the game, I felt better about those losses, but then incredibly frustrated because of the coaching apparatus and standard operating procedure that went around it.
I think from an organizational standpoint, you want to see an organization, first of all, it's not dysfunctional. That's like, first, let's stop being dysfunctional. Then once you're not dysfunctional anymore, let's start being one of the better organizations in the NFL. And I think with Ben Johnson in place, we're seeing someone who I believe in because, first of all, he's competent. Second of all, he's a good communicator. Third of all, his guys are following him where he's going. Like, those three things aren't always in line when you talk about head coaches, right? And coaching staffs that he's built. And he's got a bunch of guys that he didn't necessarily know that well, but he said, they're good at their jobs. We'll let them do their jobs. I'll do mine. We'll figure it out. And that's my favorite thing about Ben Johnson is, even though they're 3-2, every week he talks about stuff that he needs to get better at. He's not of this belief that, like, just the players have to get better. I got to get better at stuff, too.
There's only two things that I would look at and say, yeah, that's positive if the Bears were to lose. Number one is Caleb Williams having a terrific game, you know, having a 270 to 300-yard game. The second thing is Montez Sweat or Dio Odengbo having a multiple sack game. Those are the only two things that I could think of that I'd be like, okay, saw some good things, even though the Bears lost. That's
it. We actually have more to expand on when it comes to Montez Sweat. That's a little bit later in our show. This hour and this segment, sponsored by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. Our producers, you heard them earlier, Ray Diaz, Robbie Triano, Brandon Fryer on the ones and twos helping out as well. And then you can text us, 312-644-6767. Thanks to you all, I learned about smoked paprika today, so I learned something new. Mark Grody just opened a Topo Chico that went all over the studio, so I'll get to a commercial here in a second. But you can watch that on Twitch.
On the floor.
Twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Where are you storing these?
I thought it would calm down by now.
Are you storing these in some sort of paint mixer? Like, what is happening here?
I walk with them to the studio, and they...
Do you walk juggling
them?
Yeah,
but he enjoys this.
It's been calmed down for like 20, like an hour. How come it's clearly still blowing up on me?
That's what she said.
See that?
So,
yeah!
This is a Friday on 670 The Score. Our video team is Connor O'Donnell, Jacob Stutz, and Max Curtis.
So
and
we are doing
the
Eskimo Brothers segment.
Oh, my word.
No, we're not doing that.
That was said during the Amazon Post game last night. This is a Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric Football Friday presented by your local Ford dealers at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. And that is the question. What do you need to see out of the Bears? What is going to make it for real for you? define your relationship with the Bears on Sunday. There's a streak that they've been working on, too, that perhaps if that's broken, then we see a different version of this Bears team and how it feels in your heart. So we'll clean up the studio, and we'll do it all next on The Score.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Listen to Raheem Harris and Grody on the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
How do you sort of manage the team this week now in a short week and what, you know, could be a bit of a letdown spot?
I don't know what that word means.
Yeah!
There's so much going on in the sound and the music. I love it. This is Raheem Harris and Grody on 670 The Score. You look good.
When you what?
I can't say the rest of it.
You can't say back that ass up?
I mean, we can. It's just, but you don't want to go backwards on a football field. You want to go forward.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, the Calvin radio guy taught me
that. I ruined
that.
It. I'm sorry.
The radio-friendly version is back that thang up, Grody. Back thang up.
Is that the midday show version? Are you it's guys uncomfortable edit. With my language?
Oh, I'm okay with it.
Oh, no, we're
Ray, who is he playing with?
Ray.
I know you can't stand it.
Can't stand it.
I'm not participating in this portion of the program.
There's only like two more words you
I
can
know,
say, and
I know.
The rest
There's
of it
no
has
bandits
to be
over
censored.
Here, okay? Let me just let me live.
Let me. I can tell you that Vasco da Gama did find he is a European Portuguese mariner explorer, the discovery of the first direct maritime route between Europe and India.
Mariner.
My guy.
So the
Mariners
could
use
I think
that
he could
right
go to the
now.
World Series yeah. later. This is Raheem Harris and Grody on 670 The Score. We're continuing our thought about the concept of not only the win against the Saints being a key possibility here, but what it could mean for not just the rest of the season, and then also what it says about the team. And I'm pretty sure we are all on the same page that a loss would be a setback. A loss to the Saints team.
Huge.
Especially knowing like they've got Spencer Rattler. I think there is an element there for Caleb Williams, by the way. You know, he beat out Spencer Rattler for the job at quarterback in Oklahoma. And then
in dramatic fashion.
That's the thing. He didn't beat out. It'd be different if he beat out Spencer Rattler for the job.
He did.
He got replaced by Caleb mid like game. Red River rivalry. That's a different level.
The most important game on the schedule
exactly.
at Oklahoma, by the way.
Yes.
Outside of previously the Big 12 championship, now SEC.
The relationship that those two have, like the way both talked about each other, was perfect. Like knowing the backstory. That's exactly how you would talk about that guy. Well, we don't really talk, but I respect him. That's it. And I'm sure that there's more. Like Spencer Rattler has to feel it's not personal,
some
but he has to be
some
type of way, just embittered by the whole thing. And Caleb just happens to have been the person that replaced him, and obviously it was justified.
And not to be all Pollyanna, but I do think it is kind of nice that both of them are. Having quarterback opportunities in the NFL. Our friend Fletcher Mackle from WDSU, the NBC station in New Orleans, he's been there for 20 years, and, you know, and he points out the same thing. He watches LSU football all the time, and he's saying, you know, Spencer's not going to be the whiz-bang NFL quarterback here, but he's going to try to get the job done. What I think is compelling in all of this is, and it, again, the history doesn't dictate this Bears team. But there is a weird stat about how they've lost 8 games in a row to the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and each one represented a different failure in a way, or each one represented a different, like, weren't supposed to lose that game. Or the Saints were really good at the time. You know, Sean Payton, of course, local guy. There's a connection there as well.
Drew Brees.
That part, too. And for all the comps that Caleb Williams gets, I do wonder about the Drew Brees part of it because Peyton being such a quarterback-friendly coach and Breeze being, you know, he didn't physically fit the mold like Caleb Williams did at all. But just that metal and the way that he sees the game, I wonder if there's something that could be there too.
Well, size-wise too. Like Drew Breeze.
Well, Breeze was like 2 inches, 3 inches shorter than
Caleb
Williams.
I don't know about that. Like, I'd like to I'd like to see the measurements because
Reese wasn't supposed to start for his high school football team.
Caleb, but I think where I'm going with this is one of the areas that Caleb is struggling at this year is getting balls batted down.
Deflections, you say?
A lot of deflections. Just, I mean, at least one per game, maybe even two per game, it feels like. Some have been bigger than others.
I was about to say, it feels like some of them come in big third down type situations where drive killers.
And let's face it, the shorter the quarterback, the harder it is to see over the line.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like Drew Brees, while he is shorter than Caleb Williams, had to obviously overcome that. So that's probably somebody, and I'm sure Ben Johnson is forward enough to think about stuff like that, and Declan Doyle, obviously, having had roots in New Orleans too, that you do, like, the Bears coaching staff needs to figure that part out, because the more that happens, the more, you know, troublesome that is going to be for Caleb Williams getting these passes batted down.
It's just a way you're not maximizing your offense if you know that that is a significant portion of, you know, snaps taken away that you just have to chalk it up to, well, he's short, deflection. You got to work around it. You got to get to the type of efficiency that Drew and other shorter quarterbacks have done over the course of their NFL careers. Because you can get around this. It's not like, it doesn't have to be a death sentence because you're under 6'4". You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I'm just going to say this. Drew Brees is listed.
Listed
at 6 foot tall.
Oh, he's not 6 foot.
I'm listed at 5'5". Like Caleb Williams being 6 feet listed is not the same as Drew Brees being.
You're probably right, but Caleb Williams is still short relative to the other quarterbacks in the league.
Yes.
Are you 5'5"?
No, I'm 5'3". Technically, I'm 5'2.99".
You're just a baby.
Why my hospital won't give me the extra hundredth of an inch? I wish I were, but
you're
like I'm not.
Baby.
No,
you think everybody's a baby at some point or another. I've noticed that about you. I'm picking up on your game right now.
We're just a baby in some ways.
We are.
Sometimes I wish I was a baby.
Yeah.
Man, Bill's a real.
No, you're not a baby. You're an old, broken down man.
I am. You know what? That's a very accurate description.
And I'm kidding, man. You're beautiful.
The same vein as a lot of these players right now who are, you know. You look around and you're wondering who's going to hold up for the... I always start the season saying, who's going to hold up for the course of 17 games in the freaking violent NFL, right? And it always surprises me at guys who do hold up. And, you know, I got this wood paneling on this clock right here, so I'll knock on it real quick.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we were looking for wood to knock
on. Careful, they just knocked over the remote.
Those remotes were made to be broken.
Exactly, okay. They're remote controls.
Oh, but when my water sprays all over the place, you guys lose your minds.
People say they
heard the fizz on the air.
That's sick. No, they did, because I heard it through my headset. So I say that because Caleb Williams played 17 games last year.
Yes.
Caleb Williams, I knocked on the wood, has played every game this season.
He's an Iron Man.
And... you know, for a guy his size, not that he's slight, he's not frail or anything. He's not Jaden Daniels, but
he's got some build.
He's got some stronger build. Like to see him be able to do what he's done so far, especially because he suffered 68 sacks last year, is pretty impressive.
It's a great point.
And now that the offensive line has come into form, and you look across the field at the New Orleans Saints, and you see no real game wreckers. This has got to be the game where you just make it happen. Like, Caleb Williams needs to make it happen.
Well, and I think, like, we've gotten a bunch of good texts and comments on the Twitch chat. Twitch got to see Mark's bottle explode.
What's up, Twitchers?
I know, they're
great. What's going on?
But 706 says it well here. They need a dub, plain and simple. Nothing will be positive losing at home to a 1-5 team. You're correct.
Yes.
And that one win was against the Giants. And that was before they changed quarterbacks. So that adds a lot of context to this. But for some strange reason, the Bears are on an 8-game losing streak to the Saints. And I know, Mark, you talked about it a bit with your Take the North podcast partner, Dan Weeder. He did a story about it in The Athletic. I know we don't want to talk about history a lot when it comes to a new group of people. But I do think that 8-game losing streak over time is funny, strange, and even that would be a good indicator to break it of the Bears being a new team.
Yeah, I mean, obviously a lot of the key components throughout those wins and throughout those years are not still on the New Orleans Saints, but it has been a wild ride as you're listening to the Raheemy Harrison Grody show here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, except for maybe Alvin Kamara forever. forever with the Saints and will never, ever, 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 ever leave the Saints. 83 runs for 314 yards, 3.8 yard average this year. But I will say this. I will. Dan wrote a great article. You're right. We did talk about it on Take the North yesterday. Went through Dan went through all the litany of the losses. But I'm sorry. The first thing I think of with a bullet is the Bears winning the NFC title game at Soldier Field in 2005 with the confetti falling. So I choose to have a positive memory about the Bears and Saints, even though the track record has been horrendous regular season-wise.
I think I even went to a Bears-Saints game where I was like, oh, they'll win this game. And then, like, I think it was at the Teddy Bridgewater game?
Maybe.
It's just some random, I'm like, what?
The Bears actually played the Saints in the year, was it 2020?
I want to say it was 20. Well, they did in the playoffs, yes.
Which was wild.
That was the Mitch Trubisky MVP game, Nickelodeon MVP.
No, that's right. And the Bears were 8-8 that season. They went to the playoffs, very easy to forget, and then they just tumbled against the New Orleans Saints.
Indeed, they lost to the Saints in 2019. Mitch Trubisky threw for 251 yards, and Allen Robinson got 87 of them.
That's
in that
why
game.
I don't believe in him.
And Teddy Bridgewater was the winning quarterback.
The bridge.
But even though he was the winning quarterback, Trubisky got the MVP, right? Because it was like...
Well, this was the regular season game I was talking about, the one where like they shouldn't have lost to the Saints, and they did, but because Teddy Bridgewater was playing. And the one where they... That was the I guess it was a wild card playoff game.
Yeah.
Or the fake playoffs, whatever you want to call the postseason of 2020.
Why is it fake?
Because it was 2020.
Yeah, but I feel like football.
No, it was fake. You talk about the Bears going when they were 8-8.
Like, we don't even talk about the Bears qualifying
you're saying more
for
about
the postseason.
So,
it was all of it. It was an expanded playoff.
Yeah. Let me ask you guys this.
We knew it was a formality. Sean Payton got slimed at the end.
Ask your question, Mark, because I got something to say after you.
Has Matt Nagy's, now that we're in the year 2025, has Matt Nagy's resume aged well? As in,
no,
he can boast that he took the Bears to two playoffs. How many different coaches can say that?
How many wins did he get
over the last 30 years?
How many wins did he get?
How many wins?
How many wins in the playoffs did Matt Nagy achieve?
I thought you meant on the overall. Zero.
Okay, then no.
Zero.
No,
I'm talking about relative to the Bears, dude.
No. We're not doing that anymore.
No, but that's what I did.
Point. That's the point. We're not doing that
why?
Anymore. That's why when you sit here and talk about all these losses of the Saints before Ben Johnson was in charge, I don't care. What I do care about is Caleb Williams being 0-for on short weeks.
Hold on. You can't tell him to ask the question and then say, like, he asked the question.
No, I'm saying no. The answer is no. It hasn't aged any better.
But I think it has relative. And Studzinski blew up, by the way, when I brought this up.
Because Adam is correct.
He was like, no, it doesn't age well.
It doesn't age well. I'm with Studs. It doesn't age well.
I think Lovie Smith's resume aged really well. I think Matt Nagy's yes. is. Because
Lovie Smith got fired after a 10-6.
Yeah. Right, but so, there's a lot of nuance there, guys. A lot of nuance.
There could be nuance
there. It was time for Lovie to go.
Okay, yeah. You can say all that, but I can say Lovie Smith's resume ages very well. Matt does not. He didn't do anything of... Right, you got to win.
There's not many coaches. Like, let's go through it. Like Ditka obviously got the multiple playoffs.
Why is your standard so low?
I'm talking about relative to other Bears coaches. Has his resume aged well? I don't have low standards. I'm the one telling you the Bears have had bad wins.
I hate to say this, but by definition, thinking Matt Nagy's resume with the Bears was good is kind of having low standards.
No. I didn't say it was good. I said it's aged well.
Yeah, that's still having low standards.
It hasn't aged well.
I agree, but
it hasn't aged well.
I think it. I think when you look back on Bears coaches since Mike Ditka, who were all these coaches that got the Bears to multiple playoffs? Any of them? Lovie Smith?
To get to a Super Bowl more recently than, say, I don't know, the Dallas Cowboys, for example, I do think is a feat.
Yeah, Lovie Smith's resume is
the fact that, yes, and frankly, he got them the first overall pick. Let's not get this twisted. Lovie knew exactly what he was doing. When the Texans won that game, first overall pick went to
the Bears. I was like, how did Lovie get the Bears?
No, 100% he did. I bet if you asked him tomorrow, he'd finally admit it. Lovie knew damn sure what he was doing.
I got a lot of love for Lovie Smith's aging resume. But to ask the question,
when I just told you about a disappointing, two disappointing games against the Saints in the last 2 years of Matt Nagy's tenure, or two of the... the last 3 years of Matt Nagy's tenure. No, we're not going to do that.
Yeah, Matt Nagy, I don't
You
want to
get that man paid, you do it on somebody else's time.
You can have the low standards. I'm not going to be on board with your standards.
But I am exactly right, actually.
No, you're wrong.
His resume is better than most Bears coaches.
They're all terrible, too. I can say they're all terrible.
Comparing it to John Fox and Trestman.
Well, that's what I'm trying to do here. That's what I'm doing.
Then there was that guy who didn't even want to be here.
Who, John Fox?
No, the coach Trestman? Who they wanted to hire, and then he said no, and then they had to come up with a different coach.
Oh.
You know who I'm talking about.
At the airport?
I can't think of his name right now.
Oh, right.
Wasn't John. John wanted to be here at least for a moment.
Dave McGinnis.
Yes, thank
who
you.
Who now joins the shows sometimes here on the school,
you know
which is
who
pretty great.
Dave McGinnis became Dick Geron, who did get the Bears into the playoffs in the year 2001, and then they lost to... Your precious Phillies. Your precious Philadelphia
Eagles.
That's
not my team. Don't do that.
Oh, sorry.
Don't do that.
I'm pretty well. Before Chicago takes on New Orleans, tune in Sunday from 9 to noon for the Deliger Local Ford Dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score. Olin Cruz, Patrick Manley, and Mully get you set for the game, and then immediately following the game, they have instant reaction on the postgame show. It is presented by TimberTech Decking and Railing and Aturo Tire. All of it can be heard on The Score in the Odyssey app. You know what? For all our hooting and hollering and whatnot,
what
you know what's really funny? The Bears aren't the most dysfunctional team in the NFL. Let's talk about who is next.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Listen to Raheemi Harrison Grody on the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
This is Raheemi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. Having some fun talking about the Bears and Saints game coming up. And this song is aptly titled No More Drama by the Bard herself, Mary J. Blige.
What it's remixed with? That is a soap opera theme song.
Oh my God, I hear it too.
Young and the Restless? Or is that Days of Our Lives?
No, that's...
I forget.
It is the Young and the Restless.
Yes, Young and Restless.
Man.
Hey, let me tell you about Young and the Restless.
If there's one thing that happens in sports, you are going to watch some daytime TV. But we say that because the Bears are not part of the drama in the NFL. For all of us talking about the history and how it treats the Bears and how we look back at everything... We do so through, I'd say, what is a patient lens when it comes to a lot of the dysfunction we saw. Last year, the Bears were front and center when it came to understanding the dissension that was on the team. What we knew in Miami, and really we got our first signs of it, I would say our first red flags, after players talked about the Bears and how physical that practice was and how they thought the Bears were playing out of turn in their physicality. That was the first... grain of sand underneath the mattress where you're going, huh, this feels a little off. And what has gone from, I'd say, from a low boil to a simmer to like a similar low boil, then probably rolling boil now, and the pot is boiling over, is what's happened in Miami. Tua Tagovailoa famously calls out his team after Miami's 29-27 loss on Sunday. And that's, I think not only did he put the league on notice, he put his team on notice and observers of the league, because we all knew something wasn't right there based on the scores and what we saw, how they performed. But then to get to this point, listen to what Tua had to say, and then ultimately what happened later where he had to apologize this week.
I think it starts with the leadership in helping articulate that for the guys, and then what we're expecting out of the guys, right? We're expecting this. Are we getting that? Are we not getting that? We have guys showing up to player-only meetings late. Guys not showing up to player-only meetings. Like, there's a lot that goes into that. Do we have to make this mandatory? Do we not have to make this mandatory? So it's a lot of things of that nature that we got to get cleaned up, and it starts with the little things.
2 days later,
as a leader of this team, of the Miami Dolphins. You know, the comments that had been said, I would say I've made a mistake, and I'm owning up to that right now. They know my heart. They know that the intent was right. But no matter the intent, you know, the intent can be right. But when things get misconstrued or however the media wants to portray it, you know, that leaves a void of silence and a lot of questions for the guys on our team. None of that should have gotten out. And so want to publicly apologize about that. Want to move forward and now want to focus on the Cleveland Browns.
The Dolphins are 1-5. They lost to the Chargers 29-27. Before that, it was the Panthers 27-24. Their only win comes against the winless New York Jets. They lost to the Bills. They gave up 33 points to the Patriots in a loss. They gave up 33 points to the Colts in a loss in week one. The scoreboard tells you what's going on, and the quarterback did too. And for him to have to clarify it, whatever you want to call that, apologize, I get it. But he's the leader of the team. What happened where it had to boil over to that extent?
I don't know if he backpedaled or moonwalked out of there when you talk about his original statement to what he followed up with the apology. But I'll tell you this.
There was nothing unclear about what he said.
I was going to say, like, he said, he got his point across.
He did.
It's not like anybody in the locker room, oh, you're sorry. Okay. So he didn't really mean any of that stuff. No. This still means guys were not showing up to team meetings. It still means guys were showing up late. Point got across. It's a win for Tua, ladies and gentlemen.
I think so. And also, it's not like he got up there and said, I lied.
Why did he have to backpedal? I don't understand any of that.
It's the same reason Justin Fields had to backpedal when he said coaching was an issue and indeed it was an issue.
Oh, my God.
Blame
it on me. Blame it on me.
They have no better opportunity than perhaps against the Browns. You know, that's their next game. On Sunday.
Yes, Marshall.
Does the loser of the game between the one-win teams get fired before Monday's over?
Oh, my God.
That's the question.
Wow. Do we have time to change our five on it? I mean, that is a good question, right there.
What do you call that game? If last night was the Icy Hot Bowl, what do you call that game?
Well,
the Unstable Bowl?
Can't call it Get Your Affairs in Order because no one's going to die, but... The pink slip bowl, maybe? Those are two troubled franchises with two coaches who have underperformed wildly in their extended time. Can I call them extended times there? Because you could argue either of those coaches could have been fired after last season. And now...
I'm still just not to the point to... Like, I guess I'm looking at this wrongly because I'm just like, man, how did this happen with Mike McDaniel where it crumbled so quickly?
Because people loved him at first because of his sort of outside the box, didn't play the game.
Shanahan coaching tree.
Yeah.
Two right. things happened here.
Offensive mind.
Tua kept getting concussed. Let's be honest.
Right.
So that's big gaps in where you don't have steady quarterback play.
Yeah, because and then they didn't do the right thing sometimes.
Tyreek lost a step-ish. Let's say that. And the running game wasn't what it was. He was using the exact same formula in San Francisco. Like, it doesn't matter who our running back is. Watch this. They haven't gotten that same type of production from their running game. Remember, they were losing games where they were only giving up like 13, 17 points when Tua went down last year. And they just have not been able to pick things back up.
But think about how, like, for example, Mike Florio, at the beginning of last season, thought that there might be a chance that, like, the bloom was coming off the rose of the Bills. That their time might be running out. No better example than actually what's happening in Miami. And the weird part is that we saw the signs before this happened. Like, you could tell they were saying things that teams don't say. They were losing games in a way that didn't make sense to them. To allow so many points per game? Man, it feels good to not be that team.
Stark contrast. And look, just be happy right now with what's going on in Chicago that we're not talking about the quarterback in this same fashion as they are both in Miami, Cleveland, obviously, the New York Jets. It's bad out there for some people. It's not bad here.
How do you feel about the Jets being winless?
Don't care.
You know what?
Fair enough.
I love it. I love it.
I really don't care.
I think about how bad Detroit was too, and I think if we're going to look through the lens of Detroit with Ben Johnson, shouldn't it also be given to Aaron Glenn in a way?
Yeah, sure. I'm sorry, I don't care about the Jets and their winlessness.
Fair enough. Yeah, 847 with a good one. Severance Bowl. Ooh, not bad at all.
The buyout bowl. I'm with all of that.
That might be whatever game North Carolina plays next. We have more to come here on Raheem Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. We bring in a very respected voice into our conversation next. Adam Ho, the host of the Hogan Johns podcast. And Mark wants to ask him some special teams related questions too. So we'll do that all next.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.